So we're actually doing Tosus in Sanhedrin. We summarize three kashas against Rashi in Tosus. We had a fourth kasha against Rashi in the Ramban. And then we began our new project, which is to try to understand the sugya according to Tosus himself. So at this point, I'm going to dispense with the chazora on the four kashas of Rashi. We'll leave that for later on. And
make us work harder.
Yeah, no, well, what I mean is Tochidei understanding Tosus, we'll be able to answer all the kashas on Rashi, so we'll sort of reiterate the kashas against Rashi. You may recall again that out of the four kashas, we had an answer to one of the four kashas based on the Tosus Rid that you might remember. So we're here on Daf Pei Dalet Amid Beis in Masechta Sanhedrin, and we're counting up from the bottom of Tosfos 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 lines. Al Kain Nireh, and that's where we're up to. Al Kain Nireh. So he says the following: the Rabbi Avo v'Rabbi Yochanan Aliba de Rabbi Shimon Pligi. In other words, as opposed to Rashi, who identifies Rabbi Yochanan with Rabbi Yehuda, Tosus identifies Rabbi Yochanan with Rabbi Shimon. Just that Rabbi Yochanan has a different twist, a different understanding of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Avo took Rabbi Shimon literally to its extreme, that there is no ptur of makalka with regard to chovel of mavir. It means even if it's a pure kilkel without any element of tikkun, nonetheless, Rabbi Shimon says yechayv in those two malachas. And the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuvav spends a lot of time trying to derive those two malachas according to Rabbi Shimon. How does he know that even though it's makalkel, nevertheless yechayv? That's Rabbi Avo. And therefore, when Rabbi Avo quotes this brisa that says "Kol ha'makalkalim p'turim chutz mi'chovel mavu," we can understand that in a very straightforward way, that there are two malachas out of the 39 that are taken out of the klal of makalkel, and whereas the other 37 require malachas tikkun, these two malachas do not require malachas tikkun. And at that point, you have to work out why is it that mila is not called a tikkun? Why is it that havaras Sreifas Bas Kohen is not called a tikkun, but assuming that in those two cases the Torah prohibited it, even though it's a Meleches Kilkul, so Rabbi Shimon therefore derived his conclusion, and that's straightforward, that in these two Meleches you're chayav for a Meleches Kilkul. However, that was unacceptable for Rabbi Yochanan. Again, you understand here that there are two Amoraim, both belonging to the same school of thought of the Tana Rabbi Shimon, but different versions of what Rabbi Shimon said. And in Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Shimon, even though we're talking about a kind of a kilkul in the cases of Chovel Mavri, but it's not a real full-fledged kilkul. Why? Because he needs it for something or other. And whatever that something or other is, it's enough to create a tikkun. And Tosus uses the term miktas tikkun or tikkun ktas. So you'll see at the end of that line, which is the third of the wide lines in Tosus, he says, Rabbi Yochanan Savada Filu Rabbi Shimon Ba'i. What does Ba'i mean, everyone? He requires, excellent, he requires tikkun. Say it again.
Ba'i was an ayin.
Ba'i with an ayin, right? Be'inon, we need tikkun ktsas. So you want to underline those words, tikkun ktsas. And that tikkun ktsas is not going to be recognized lahalacha according to Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll get to Rabbi Yehuda's sheet in just a second. But as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, Rabbi Yochanan insists that Rabbi Shimon recognizes the significance of tikkun ktsas. But we have to keep in mind, Rabbosai, and this is the paradox that I think the Pnei Yoshua is going to address, that tikkun ktsas doesn't seem to make sense according to Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, if Rabbi Yochanan had come up in the air, with this concept of tikkun ktsas, then we could rack our brains and try to figure out what he has in mind. But Rabbi Yochanan, according to Tosus, is using this concept of tikkun ktsas to explain whose shita? Rabbi Shimon. And that's a problem, because Rav Shimon is the one who says that the Torah only validates a tzorech if it's the tzorech gufa. That's the sheet of Rav Shimon, malacha shein tzricha legufa potter. In other words, the Meleches Machsheves Halach that we derive from Mishkan tells me, let's go back to the Mishkan, let's see exactly what the purpose of each of the 39 Melechas was in the Mishkan, and if the individual has that purpose in mind, he needs it for that goal, then he's chayev. If he doesn't need it for that goal, that's not called Meleches Machsheves. So when we talk about Machsheves, which means the Kavana and the Das and the Machshava that we spoke about with regard to Meleches Machsheves, that Machshava, Kavana, and Das has to be focused on the Gufa Shel Melacha. For example, when they dug a hole back in the Mishkan, they did it in order to plant the Samamonim. But if he doesn't need the hole for some emanim or for any other sort of planting, that's called the Melech Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, and that's not called Meleches Machsheves. So according to Rav Shimon, we've invalidated any tzorech that's not L'Gufa. And if that be the case, what's this concept of Tikkun Ktzas? I mean, if he needs it for the Melech itself, then that indeed is called the Meleches Tikkun. You don't need Tikkun Ktzas. And if he doesn't need it for the Melech itself, he needs it for some other extraneous, what we call Tzorech Tzdadi, we use that phrase, some extraneous need that he has, then the Torah doesn't validate that. And that's why Melech Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Patur.
Tzricha L'Gufa is Patur.
Correct.
And when is the Chayav?
Only when it's tzricha legufa. So we have that extra legufa, and we're qualifying when is it considered litzorech. It's not just stam litzorech. You know, I need it for this, I need it for that, I'm going to feed my dog, I'm going to, cook my raw egg in the ashes. No, no, no. It's got to be a very specific, restricted legufa. That legufa is derived from the essence or the definition of the malacha as we find it in the Mishkan. Now, What the Pnei Yoshua is going to try to accomplish for us, I think, is to present a two dinim kind of, a relativity theory. He's going to say that when you ask a question about Litzorech, in terms of the Machlokis from Shimon Rabbi Yehuda, Litzorech Gufa, that's not identical with the question that you ask about Tikkun versus Kilkul. And that means that if you're asking about Tikkun versus Kilkul, we need a much more objective definition of Tikkun versus Kilkul. And that works in two ways. Number one, if he's doing something that's crazy, then that has no objective value. No one else in the world would need it. You can't make that into hocus pocus, into a Tikkun. But if on the other hand, it could work the other way, if it's a very unusual kind of tzorech, a very, rare, uncommon situation, but nevertheless, anyone could appreciate that need, in theory, if he were in the same situation. So if you were a dog breeder, you might appreciate this, then that could possibly add an element of tikkun into the equation, even though it would not be tzorech. It becomes complicated. I call it the theory of relativity. But Don, I know what your intellectual capabilities are. So I've, of course, I had a discussion with Don, and he floored me. So I know that.
On a subject I'm an expert in.
It doesn't matter. But I'm telling you, Don, if you could understand that stuff, and like five times during the discussion, I had to say, Don, just give me a chazara. I don't know.
Now you know how I feel the other way around.
The other way around. God put me into that situation so that. But what we're saying is the following, that and we'll see the in Mitzvah Hashem, we'll see the Pnei Yeshua in just a few minutes, so maybe I'm already getting ahead of myself, but you might want to come up with the following distinction as opposed to equation. We assume that if Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Potter, it means the Torah doesn't recognize your Tzorech, which is external to the Malacha, then that Tzorech is completely meaningless. That's the way we understand it, on a very superficial level, but it's not true. On a deeper level, we're not completely disqualifying your Tzorech, even according to Reb Shimon. Although, again, if you're talking about an equation, between your malacha and the Mishkan, if we're talking about upgrading your malacha to like a maleches ha-mishkan, maleches machsheves as it was done in the Mishkan, then your particular tzorach might not cut the, you know, might not reach the grade. But if you're talking about a different issue, the Torah says that Shabbos is given to creating and not to, well, to abstain from creating and not to destroy, meaning we don't care one way or the other what you destroy. What we care is that we don't want to use this as a day of, you know, the seventh day is not a day of Masa, which means not a day of creating. God created the world in 6 days, not on the seventh day. Then you may come up with an entirely different criterion as to what your standards are for tikkun, for creative, and when it becomes mekalkel. So our assumption, our analogy between Malacha Shein Tzricha Leguf and Mekalkel was a bit superficial. And that's why I think Tosfos is pointing out over here. You could have a situation where Rav Shimon would say that this is not a Malacha Tzricha Legufa, and yet at the same time, Rav Shimon is going to say, well, this is a Malachas Tikkun. It's not Tzricha Legufa, but yet it is tikkun. And Tosfos calls that a tikkun ktsas. It's not a full-fledged tikkun. The full-fledged tikkun would mean that the gufa shel malacha, the way it was done in the Mishkan, is constructive. I dig, you know, I plow the land, and now I can sow it. That would be dumya de Mishkan, that would be similar to the Mishkan, and that would be a full-fledged tikkun. Obviously, we want this field to produce. But there may be something else which is a bit of a fallback position of tikkun, where anyone in that situation might do exactly as you did and gain the benefit that you would gain from that action, even though that's not paradigmic of the Mishkan. And that would simply touch on the basic definition, the requirement of a malacha, that a malacha has to be a maleches tikkun. Malacha cannot be a maleches kilkul. And Tosfos wants to introduce a concept called tikkun ktsas.
What is that?
This is six lines from the bottom of the page. See if you can count up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You see those words, tikkun ktsas.
Rabbi, if I understand correctly, the difference between maleches kilkul and maleches tikkun, and the Mishnah goes by maleches tikkun, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's the machlokes between Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan. Does the Mishnah require maleches tikkun? And the answer is that Rabbi Avo says yes, but not yes, meaning it's not necessarily so. There may be malachas where the Torah drops the ball on the requirement of tikkun, and he's got two such malachas. That's the way he understands Rav Shimon. Where is this Rav Shimon? We don't know. Tosfos says we had it somewhere in the Masorah, in the Braisa, got lost. We don't know where it is, but the Gemara is telling us that according to Rabbi Avo, in the Braisa that he has, it chutz michovel mafid, that Braisa was authored by Rabbi Shimon, and it reflects the view that even in a pure 100% kilkul, you'll be chayav in these two malachas, which the Gemara went ahead in Masech to Shabbos to proceed to base it on drushos, on yalfusos, which are derived from mila and sreifas bas kohen. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan, he says, no, there's no such thing as chutz. I cannot tolerate chutz. Every malacha must be what? A maleches tikkun. There's no such thing as chutz. Don't talk to me about exceptions. Then Rabbi Yochanan says, but wait a minute, maybe this braisa can somehow be salvaged, and maybe the braisa, as you say, Rabbi Avo, I agree with you, was authored by Rabbi Shimon, but with one major alteration. We have to do an alteration here. And what is that? We have to bring in tikkun here into the picture. Again, it's very, very, it's a funny kind of thing, because the braisa of Rabbi Avo says that it's a maleches kilkul, right? It says kol makalkul p'turim chutz michovel amavre. Obviously, classifying chovel amavre as a maleches kilkul comes along Rabbi Yochanan. He says, "Name, they can't, it cannot be. I cannot tolerate such a chutz. The extreme chutz is not acceptable. But I can water down the chutz and get a situation which, shall we say, is quasi-tikkun, quasi-kilkul. It's somewhere in the twilight zone between the two, which he calls tikkun ktsas. Tzvi asked me if there's any earlier source. This is, again, everything that we're doing today is Tosfos. So you don't have to ask me that question. Anything I say for the next hour is Tosfos. The Tosfos is coming up. Tzvi asked me, where did Tosfos get this phrase from? Tikkun Ktzas. And I get the impression here that Tosfos coins his own phrases. I don't know if you find it in an earlier source, like in a Risha, in one of the Gaonim, or if you find it in Shas, let me know. But as far as I know right now, Tikkun Ktzas is an invention. And what is this invention solving? Why is this so valuable to Tosfos? You know, why is Tosfos yelling from the tree, to, you know, from the hilltops? Yay! I found this new concept called Tikkun Ktzas. Oh, because it's going to allow Rabbi Yochanan on the one hand to maintain that Meleches Chovil, we'll talk about Chovil for the meantime, is a Meleches Tikkun, because Rabbi Yochanan is absolutely committed to that position that every Melech has to have Tikkun. However, at the same time, Tosfos gains another major, major benefit here. And that is that if the Braisa is going to be salvaged, which is what Rabbi Yochanan is making an effort to do, a valiant effort to do, then it makes sense to use the word chutz, because it's not a full-fledged tikkun. Had it been a full-fledged... So again, had it been a full-fledged kilkul without the element of tikkun ktsas, then we're in deep trouble, because Rabbi Yochanan could not tolerate a malacha that you chai for this malacha on Shabbos, even though it's pure kilkul. So that's why we need the tikkun ktsas. On the other hand, it's got to be ktsas, because if you don't add the word ktsas, then it's a full-fledged tikkun, and if it's a full-fledged tikkun, then why did you write chutz? Where does chovel fit into the exception of the rule? It actually is the rule itself, namely that we need meleches tikkun. So chovel, as I said before, fits in somewhere between two extremes. It's midway, it's kind of a compromise between two extreme positions. One extreme position says we need a tikkun, and that means a full-fledged tikkun. The other extreme position would say, next time Rabbi Yavon understood Rabbi Shimon, that even if it's a pure kilkul, you'd be chayev. And Rabbi Yochanan is in a bind. He certainly can't accept a pure, full-fledged kilkul. That's antithetical to everything he understands about the essence of Shabbos. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan wants to salvage this braisa, and the braisa uses the word chutz, obviously putting chovel into a new category. That's where the ktsas helps me. It's not a full-fledged tikkun, but it's a partial tikkun. It's not a tikkun in the gufa shel malacha, but rather it's a tikkun in terms of what he needs and benefits, side benefits, as we called it, that he gains.
So if I understand this correctly, the tikkun ktsas, like the chutz, is actually a tikkun chelki, like a...
That the chutz is, that even it's not a tikkun gamur, nevertheless, it's considered a tikkun. It crosses the threshold of tikkun. It's like, for example, when I was a youngster, I think things have changed since then, the passing grade was 65, if anyone remembers that.
In university, it's 60 now.
60, right, it's gone down. The standards have gone down. We were the... Eich naflu gibor, right, we were the greats. So 65. Now, obviously, if a person gets a 65, it's a passing grade. You know, you might ask for a P on his record. Instead of a grade, a letter instead of a number, because all P's look the same. But nevertheless, he did not get an excellent grade. He did not get 100 and anywhere near 100. He got a 65, but he's passing. So Tosfos is saying that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, in the context of Kilkel versus Tikkun, set up two grades. He's got the passing grade. What's that called in Tosfos' language? Tikkun Ktsas. And then he's got a full-fledged tikkun, and that's called tikkun gomor. Now, in what context do we require a tikkun gomor, and in what context do we just give him a pass? And we say a tikkun ktsas is sufficient. Here's where we distinguish between 37 malachas on the one hand, and 2 malachas on the other hand. With regard to 37 malachos, since Rabbi Shimon derives from the principle of malacha sheni tzricha legufa, that the Torah says that you're chayev for Shabbos, for malacha Shabbos, conditionally on litzorech gufa, therefore we're going to require a tikkun gomor. That tzorech gomor means he needs the gufa shel malacha. That's a tikkun gomor. But in two cases out of 39, and Rav Shimon has to prove this to us based on Mila and Sreifas Bas Kohen, the Torah lowered the standards for Tikkun and set up the halacha of Tikkun Ktsas, and that passable Tikkun, which would not fit in with the principle of Malacha Sheina Tzricha L'Gufa, because this is a case of Eina Tzricha L'Gufa, and therefore from the perspective of 37 out of 39 Malachas, this would be a kilkul. And the Torah said, no, I am going, the Torah says, I am going to recognize in two cases a Tikkun Ktsas, which means a Malacha Sheina Tzricha L'Gufa, by the standards of the other 37, and raise it, upgrade it to the level of a Meleches Tikkun. So the Chutz really is not qualitative, in a sense it's quantitative. What I mean to say is that we're not saying Chutz the way Rabbi Avo had the word Chutz in Rabbi Shimon's famous reference. Chutz means forget about the requirement of Kilkul, just accept the Kilkul Gomor. But rather it's going to be a quantitative chutz. Within the quantity, you know, you're counting from 0 to 100, at what level, at what number do you pass the grade and it's passable and it's considered tikkun, that's where Chovel Umavir have their own, shall I say, independent status and definition of tikkun. It's not the universal definition of tikkun. The Torah doesn't recognize anything but tzorach gufo, but in these two malachas, the Torah is going to allow tzorach gufo to play a role of tikkun ktsas and upgrade chovel umavir from a makalkil to a metakin. And that exceptional mechanics, exceptional from the perspective of the oldest 37 malachas, that justifies the word what? Chutz. Why is it chutz? Because here, unlike the other 37, the Torah will recognize this as a meleches tikkun. In Chovel Umavir, the tikkun ktsas is considered what? Is considered tikkun. Now, who rejects this whole concept of tikkun ktsas? That's going to be, paradoxically, Rabbi Yehuda. Again, we don't know where Rabbi Yehuda appears in Shas, or in Bavli, Yushalmi, Sifra, Sifri, and Mechilta, and any Bryce anywhere. But there was some sort of Kabbalah, or maybe they had a certain Bryce that we don't know about. And there, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is recorded. And he's going to say that Chovel Umavir, even with a Tikkun Ktsas, still remain in the getter of what? Of Mekalkel. And that's what Tosus writes over here.
So what does
again, we're on, just give me 1 minute, we're on the same line, Harvey. You see where it says Tikkun Ktsas? You have that line? So we're moving on in that line, which is, I think we said it was 6 lines up from the bottom, Tikkun Ktsas. Umiu, Lo Choshev Tikkun, who is the one who's going to reject this new definition, lowering your standards for Tikkun? As far as Chovel Umavir is concerned, she's Chayev, that he should be Chayev Bekach. Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we cannot accept this lower standard of tikkun, because Rabbi Yehuda says that the requirements of tikkun that apply to 37 malachos out of 39 apply to the other two as well. It's 39 or bust. So we have now the following. Both Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Avo, and Rabbi Yehuda, both of them have an all or nothing proposition, which means Rabbi Avo is going to insist, according to Rabbi Shimon, that a kilkul gomur is chayav in chovel umavir, which means that these two malachas are completely out of the set. And the other polar extreme is going to be Rabbi Yehuda. He's not willing to accept any pshara, any compromise. He's not willing to give an inch. And he's going to say we need a tikkun gomor, not only in 37 malachas, but in 39 malachas. In the middle, we have a compromise shita of Rabbi Yochanan in his understanding of Rabbi Shimon. And he's going to say that although this is not a classical meleches tikkun, but it satisfies some sort of, shall we say, low-grade definition of tikkun, and that requirement of tikkun makes it belong to the, you know, the class of malachas, which includes all 39 malachas. On the other hand, it's a chutz, because it does have an element of kilkul in as far as gufa shel malacha. But at this point, Tosus adds another phrase. And he writes, the ein derech lachbol bechavero. If you need to obtain dam, you can go to the dam store, the local dam supermarket for your dog. You don't have to beat somebody up to squeeze his blood out for the sake of your dog. So therefore, ein derech lachbol bechavero litein lekelev. Or alternatively, lishov gadish b'shul efer. If you need efer, then don't burn down a haystack. You know, find another way of getting efer. Go to your local efer supermarket, or burn some, some wood that's not needed. You know, some weeds. I don't mean weeds in that sense. Okay? I meant. Okay.
We got the joke.
Forget it. In any event, so he's saying that now. Now we have Rabbi Yehuda's sheet, and Rabbi Yehuda's saying that, okay, you know what, this is a tikkun ktsas perhaps, but that doesn't make it into Meleches Tikkun. Meleches Tikkun requires a tikkun, maybe not in the gufa shel melacha, but a tikkun which is common, which can be anticipated, where your average person would, if he had to achieve that tikkun, do it the way you did it, namely with the melacha that you did. And this, I think, touches on a concept which is universal in Shas that's called Batla Daito Etzel Kol Adam, that the halacha works with the objective das of most people. You'll always find an erratic, exceptional guy, but the Torah doesn't, the halacha is not fashioned or designed based on that Yotzei Dof, a very unusual kind of behavior pattern. And therefore, if you ask a person, how does he obtain Dam or Efer, he's not going to give you these answers of Chovel B'Chavero or Sreifas Gedisho Shal Chavero. That's not the way he's going to go about obtaining the Dam that he needs or the Efer that he needs. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, we have to apply the universal yardstick of Batla Daito Etzel Kol Adam, which literally means his intention is completely nulled and void when we compare it to Kol Adam. Kol Adam means the average person. Okay, then? So let's just see. Oh, wow. This is magical. When did this happen? I was trying to clean this and I was not. So this is called Butler Daito Eitzel Kol Adam. And the classical case is a Gemara in Bava Metzia, in Perek Elu Metzios, and that's called Zuto Shel Yam. So let's say something falls into the sea, and the assumption is Yeish. What does Yeish mean?
He's given up.
He's given up hope. He despairs, right? Mm-hmm. Because in order to, we're not talking about a shipwreck. In order to find a ring on the bottom of the ocean, you would need to bring all the deep sea divers and all the submarines in the world, and for desperately, even after that, you probably wouldn't find the ring. So it's what we call looking for a needle in a
haystack.
So that's called Yeush. Now this Yeush applies even if the guy is standing there and he's yelling and screaming. That's called Sabach V'Yomar Anilomis Yeush. I'm not giving up hope. I'm going to go down 30,000 feet under the surface level, sea level, or whatever it is, and I'm going to find this ring at the bottom of the sea if it hasn't been swallowed up already by a fish. And then Yosef finds it and he uses the phone and shouts, right? Okay, fine. And then that's called Bala Daito Etzel Kol Adam. Now you might ask me, wait a minute, this is my ring. Well, I'm not giving up hope on the ring. Don't sign me off here. Don't I'm not out. You know what I'm saying? Bala Daito Etzel Kol Adam. And this principle, based on this sugya in Bava Metzia, became a universal principle all over the place. And if you look up in the Encyclopedia Talmudid, if you ever want to study that, you'll find Batla Daito Kol Adam and how it applies here, there, and elsewhere. Rabbi Yehuda, according to Tosfos, is now saying, well, you want to tell me this is tikkun? You're going to destroy something? You might shecht an animal and decide to eat certain parts of its meat. Okay, that's reasonable. Because if you need the meat and you need to shecht an animal, so that's what you do. But you know, if you need afer, you need ashes, don't burn down the haystack. Yeah, go ahead.
Two days ago, we discussed the idea of psik resha, below yamut. But yet, there's one baki that can do this, so it's not psik resha. So, isn't this a contradiction? If just because there's one person that can do it, the rove, most people cannot. I'm just wondering if this concept, baba dato atzakol adam.
So, the case of psik resha is, again, I'm going to just give you a short answer, and we could discuss it later in great length. Means we're trying to define the action itself. When you cut off the chicken, cut off the head of the chicken, you know it's going to die. There's no way it could survive. However, if I can show you a way of doing be'ilah without removing the dam, although it requires a certain bekius, a certain expertise, that already proves that be'ilah and hotzas dam are two different actions. And once they're two different actions, we begin to apply the principle of dov v'sheinu miskamei. That, again, that, as I say, that requires a long discussion. So if in the abstract world you're trying to define, are these two things one or are they two different actions, then if you find a baki, you could do it this way without that, that already undermines the principle of psik resha. And it blocks me from combining and collapsing two actions into one. But if you're asking me about the derech, you know, you have to violate the Shabbos in a tikkun, it means you have to do it as a tikkun. No one would call this a tikkun. You know, you can go to the greatest financial advisors in the world, but no one is going to advise you to burn down a haystack for the sake of afer. That's my assumption. Again, you can debate that. So when we talk about advice for something that's constructive, then we look at the objective universe, and Rabbi Yehuda is unwilling to upgrade this kavana, this intention, to that of a tikkun, simply because this Joe decides that he's so desperate for the afer or for dam for his kelev that the world could go under. He doesn't care. That doesn't sit well with Rabbi Yehuda to define a meleches tikkun. So if your meleches tikkun ktsas, the way Rabbi Yochanan understood in Rabbi Shimon, is going to be, oh, I'm going to beat up the guy and take his down for my kelev, That cannot be classified according to Rabbi Yehuda and recognized as a tikkun. So again, let's see it again. Umil lo chashiv tikkun sheyischai bekach Rabbi Yehuda di ein derech lachbo bechavero litein lekelev velisrof gadish bishvil efer. Then Tosas says, continuing in Tosas, uplugta the makalkil b'chabura de Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. Where is this machlokas regarding makalkil b'chabura between Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon? It's nowhere to be found. Kimle la shas, the shas knew it. It was some sort of torah shebal peh, a tradition that was passed on. We'll call it an oral tradition. And that's called obikabol.
Didn't they have brayta that were written down but not added into the Gemara around?
Oh, that's Tosus' second possibility. Oshema brayta shnuya b'shum makom. Maybe they had such a brayta, and it's shnuya b'shum makom. Whose phone is this, by the way?
That's our conference call, I hope.
Oh, because at some point it sort of sent out some signals. Over there. It's still working. I'm only annoyed because all of a sudden it gave out this signal. I don't know. I'm not a bucky in conference calls or whatever you call it. What's it called? A conference call? No.
Conference call? Okay, yes, it's still working. We're online.
Could you imagine on both sides? I'm just dreaming. If somebody donated, somebody gave us $1 million to set up one of those, what do they call them? You know, those conferences, what do they call them? Video conference. Could you imagine? We could have people listening to us. I once calculated that if I wake up early on Friday morning, Erev Shabbos, I can give a shiur in New York City, which would be at 10 p.m. at night, which is a wonderful time for people in New York. And it would be Friday afternoon, we calculated, before Shabbos in Melbourne in Australia. Like, it's amazing what modern technology can do, but who has the box rooms? You know what I'm saying? We're lucky if we have a phone.
You're going to find the web. Yeah, they're webcasts. Web video.
Right. I did try webcast. You know, it It's good, but it's not like this major screen, you know, where you can see the election results, you know, and they interview the various politicians, you know, and it's in crystal clear. It's clearer than real life, you know what I'm saying? All right. So what else do we have over here?
Is
Melechet
Chutz
the
same thing?
Melechet Chutz. Wait a minute, you're ahead of me. I didn't get to Melechet Chutz yet. Just one second. Pluto. Where's Melechet Chutz?
You said it.
I said something about Melechet Chutz. If I said anything about Melechet Chutz, I was distracted by the conference call.
Chutz was in the
Brice of Rabbi Avo, right? The Brice of Rabbi Avo, which you should have a copy of. That's Kuvav and Aleph in the sense of Shabbos. Tony Rabbi Avo on the fourth line down. Kol Makalkul Ptur Chutz Michovul Umavi. That's what I meant by Chutz, maybe. Okay.
So, Robert, can I ask a quick question or wait till after?
Yeah, ask me in just 1 minute. I just want to make sure I don't lose cup here. Upluta de Mekalkil Bechabura. Fine. Oh, Shema Brisa Shnuya Bechol Makom. Okay, so we're up to the Chitain.
So, previous to this quantitative issue of Tikkun Kitzak, we were like, was this a type of Tikkun done in the Mikdash to build the Mishkan or not? That seemed to be the essence. Now, all of a sudden, Tikkun. You know, we're talking about a little bit of a tikkun, doesn't necessarily discuss if that was the way it was done in the Mishkan or not.
Right. At this point, and that's, I think, going to be the thesis here of the Pnei Yoshua, we are actually severing the tie between tikkun versus kilkul and Mishkan. That, you know, that very close connection was true when we were dealing with Malach HaShem and Tzricha L'Gufa, according to Reb Shimon, but it's not true when we're dealing with definitions of kilkul versus tikkun. Those definitions are objective. According to Rabbi Yehuda, objectivity it means would anyone else in their right mind do that same thing and destroy something for the ultimate constructive purpose that he has in mind? And if the answer is objectively no, then it's not, it doesn't qualify as a tikkun. Other definitions would be more liberal and say, the way Rabbi Yochanan understands Rabbi Shimon, for example, that a tikkun ktsas is also called a tikkun because he's not a crazy. He does get some benefit from it. He's very desperate. And that's called a tikkun. And then we have the shita of Rabbi Avo. Chutz means that there's no requirement of tikkun whatsoever with regard to Chovul Mavir. And that could only be justified by his Yalfusa in Shabbos Kufav from either Mila or Sreifas Bas Kohen. Now he says, V'chi Tema. L'Rabbi Avo, Kevan Deleka Tikkun, Imkain Tzricha L'Gufa Hechi Mishkachasla. Okay then, so let's underline those words so we know that we have to spend a lot of time and a lot of effort figuring out what those words mean. Okay, so on line, again, the wide lines, we're on line number 6. And right smack in the middle of line 6, you'll see V'chi Tema. Okay then, line 5 is it?
Yeah.
Okay, line number 5, V'chi Tema, and that takes us all the way through the next line, line number 6, Hechi Mishkachas La. Okay, so let's try to understand what he's saying.
The beginning of the line is part of the question.
All that is part of the question. And the question ends with the word Ha. Do you have that? So V'chi Tema, now you'll ask me, according to Rabbi Avo says that you're chayav from Mekalkel in the case of Chovil, even though there's no tikkun whatsoever. In Cain, Tzricha L'Gufa Hechi Mishkachas La. How do we have a Tzricha L'Gufa? Meaning that even though Rabbi Shimon is willing, are you listening, Rabbi Osa? This is a very important point. Even though Rabbi Shimon is willing to drop the requirement of tikkun with regard to Chovel, the way Rabbi Avo understands it, so therefore in the case of Chovel it could be chayiv even though it's a meleches kilkul, but we still have another requirement, and that is melacha shein etzricha legufa. We need a tzricha legufa coin term Shimon. And how do I know this? The Gemara here in Sanhedrin, let's just review, you're allowed to take out the coats, the thorn, even though you'll draw blood, if you will, because it's a meleches kilkul. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, what do you mean it's a meleches kilkul? You're going to tell me that it's a meleches kilkul? Well, Rav Shimon holds that in the case of Chovil, you're chayav from a kalkin. So how can you permit removing this kotz? If you remember the concept called Shigagas Skila, I don't know, Don, if you were here when we discussed it, but anyway, how could you circumvent the problem of Shigagas Skila if inadvertently you remove the dam when you take out the thorn? And Reb Shimon holds that Makalkil v'chabura is chayav. So that even though taking out the dam is a kilkul, because the poor guy needs as much dam as he can, maybe we'll give him a blood transfusion, right? He needs the blood. But nevertheless, Reb Shimon says, taking out the blood is a meleches chovel yechayav even b'makalkil. So how can you allow this procedure of removing the thorn, knowing full well that you might come to a shigas skila if you remove the dam? So the Gemara answers, because it would be a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Rabosa, if you have any ties, just fix your tie on the only. Well, that makes sense. Who else would wear a tie?
White.
Oh, right, Mize is wearing a tie.
I can borrow my tie.
So we got two ties. Okay.
Room doesn't
lead
itself.
It's not a din in the room, it's a din in the camera. You need a wide lens camera. Okay, let me try to see if I can figure out where I was up to. Okay, I get distracted by cameras and by many other things. That's my problem. We have the problem, the Gemara says that the only reason we could allow removing the thorn on Shabbos is because Rabbi Shimon, this is on the top of Peheim and Aleph, Rabbi Shimon happens to hold the Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa is Potter. So even though this Malach of Chovel, despite the fact that it's Mekalkil, is Chayav, but we still have another condition in order to be Mechayav him, and that is Tzricha Legufa. And if it's a Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa, then that Chavol is Potter. Now, that's very strange, because according to Rabbi Avo, every single case of Chovel, which is called a Makalkil Gomor, according to his understanding of Rav Shimon, is by definition going to be a Malach Sheina Tzricha Legufa. So in what case, in what
Sheina Tzricha Legufa.
I meant to say Sheina Tzricha Legufa, sorry. So in what scenario do we have the following combination? We have the combination of Makalkil and Malach Tzricha Legufa. That's the only way that you can say that Makalkel Bechabur is Chayav. Because the Gemara says that Rav Shimon holds that even in the case of Makalkel, if it's Ein Tzricha Legufa, you're going to be Potter. That was the justification for allowing us to remove the thorn on Shabbos. Now it comes out that logically, mathematically, every case of Makalkel in Chovel is by definition an Ein Tzricha Legufa. Because what does Makalkel mean? Makalkel means that he doesn't need the Gufa Malach. And therefore becomes a pure kilkul. No, if that be the case, if he doesn't need the gufa shamalach, then I should employ what p'tur over here? Malach hashen etzricha legufa. Are you with me? Again, as far as requiring tikkun is concerned, Rav Shimon drops the ball. There's no requirement of tikkun, according to Rabbi Avol's understanding of Rav Shimon, in Meleches Chovel. A pure kilkul is chayav. But how can you say those words? Rav Shimon also happens to hold that Malach hashen etzricha legufa is part of it. And every case of a kalkil is by definition a Malach hashen etzricha legufa. How do I know this? Because if it would have been tzricha legufa, it would be tikkun. That's exactly how we define tikkun.
Isn't that the definition of chutz, though? Doesn't the chutz take care of that?
So I would have said the chutz takes care of that, and therefore you should be chayev despite the fact that it's ain't a tzricha legufa. But what am I going to do with the Gemara in Sanhedrin daf peheim et al? If the Gemara stares me in the face and contradicts me and says, with all due respect, it's not so, because the Gemara is going to allow taking out the thorn and with it some blood, even though it's a meleches kilkul, which according to Rav Shimon would make chovel chayev, and the Gemara is going to say no. It's potter, everything's fine. Why? Because the Gemara in the first line on Daf Pehei Amid Alf, which we learned yesterday, the Gemara says, because the Malacha, Sheinet Tzricha Legufa. But wait a second, then in what case, you know, this is what we call an empty set, in what case does Rabbi Shimon say Yochayev for Meleches Chabura as a kilkul? How can you be Chayev as a kilkul? By definition, it's a Malacha, Sheinet Tzricha Legufa. And here Tosus does somersaults in the air to come up with a case that's going to be a makalkel b'chabura, and at the same time it's tzricha legufa. How could that be? Hamishkachesle b'isurei hanor. shesavur sheyachol lihenos velitain lekalbo v'chein mavir. Again, we'll come back to all these words in a minute. V'chein mavir b'yisri ano shesavur sheyachol levashel kidera. Okay, that was Tosus. That's the line in Tosus that presents us with a great challenge to try to figure out what Tosus means. So let's just take a stab at it, Rabbi Osei. This is going to require a lot of chavrusa work in the Beis Medrash, but let's just say it on a very ad hoc, you know, superficial way. There's something called Isurei Hanok. And in the case of Isurei Hanoah, we're going to say that if he thinks that he could be Nene by giving this to his Kelev, do we recognize that as a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufo or not? Let's say, for example, what's Isurei Hanoah? Okay, Isurei Hanoah, should we write that? I think it's right here in the Tosus, Isurei Hanoah. So just copy it from Tosus.
Avodah Zarah, Orla.
Excellent. Avodah Zarah, Orla, and Nosar, and Chometz v'Pesach. What else? I don't know. That's the Rabbanan already. I meant to say Isurei Hanoah d'Oraisa. So it means these are prohibitions which enjoin a person from having any benefit whatsoever.
Rather, that if you make a, and this is a menachah shema tzicha legufa, you're taking out the point to use your finger, but you're not considering menachah shema tzicha legufa.
Oh, so the Gemara thinks that if you take out a thorn and you remove its blood, and you remove the blood, you have no need or interest in removing the blood, and therefore becomes a malacha shena tzricha legufa. So the Gemara says that even though mekalkel b'chabura is chayiv, nevertheless in this case it's part of because you don't have a tzorech legufa. So how can we have a case where you would have a meleches mekalkel, but it is considered at the same time tzricha legufa? So Tosus says that he has it in the case of Isurei Hanoah. In Isurei Hanoah, he thinks that he could be Nene, and he's mistaken about that, and that makes it into a Malacha HaTzricha Legufa. Why is it Tzricha Legufa? He needs the Dam. He thinks in his mind that he can benefit, he can enjoy the benefit of the Dam, but the Dam is Asur B'Hanoah. Why is the Dam Asur B'Hanoah? So let's say, for example, he doesn't realize that this animal from which he's extracting the dam is a behemas kodshim, and it has to be brought on the Mizbeach. Now, a behemas kodshim is also by Noah. Right. He's not aware of that. So he thinks it's a behemas chulin, which means it has no sanctity, and you're allowed to benefit from the dam.
He's taking a thorn.
Wait, just give me a minute, because if you're going to distract me, I'm not going to be able to finish the sentence. I'm sorry. Give me 1 minute. So what are we saying over here? We're saying that he takes out the dam, he needs the dam for his purposes, he wants to feed his dog, and that's called a meleches kilkul. Now why is that called a meleches kilkul? After all, if he needs the dog more than he needs the animal, for whatever reason, right? Let's say the dog is worth 1,000, it's a pedigree German shepherd or something, whatever it is, and the dog needs this dam, then it's not called kilkul if he takes dam from, let's say from a bird. So he takes dam out of a bird and he feeds it to his big, beautiful, expensive pedigree dog. That's not called kilkul. Okay then? But the question is it tzricha legufa or is it not tzricha legufa? So the answer is, if he thinks that it's mutter for him to benefit from this dam, he doesn't realize that it's a dam of kodshim, then from his perspective, it's considered a tzricha legufa. He needs the dam. But why is it called makalkel? And in this case, he'll be chayev. The answer is because he's destroying a behemoth hegdish. So although, let's say, an oaf or a behemoth would only sell for 50, but now he's going to have to replace it with another 50. Or perhaps Tosus thinks that since it's usur to take out the dam from behemoth kodshim for your own personal purposes, you can only shecht it on, for the sake of the dam and the zrika on the galgad mizbeach, then the isur itself makes it into a mekalkel. So here's a case of chovil. He is destroying the animal. And why is this considered destructive? Either because he's going to have to replace it now with another animal, it's behemoth kodshim, or because the very fact that the Torah prohibits him from taking the dam, that itself makes it into meleches kilkul, like we saw on the flip side, that a mitzvah could make something into a tikkun. You remember that? In the case of korea al-meso. Or, for example, the Gemara says that if he's korea al-mechamoso, that itself is asur. You're not allowed to get angry and rip clothing, and that's baltashas, and that itself makes it into a meleches kilkul. Here too, the very fact that he is violating the Isur HaNoah by taking the dam out of a behemoth kodshim, that itself makes into a meleches kilkul. But if you'll ask me, is it tzarech legufo or not? Does he need the dam because the melech of chovel is removing the dam? The answer is yes. In his mind, he thinks that he needs the dam. Now again, you might say, well, butler daita itzel kol adam. I mean, no one else would take the dam out of a behemoth kodshim. But the answer is, anyone who would be mistaken about the identity of this animal and convince himself that this animal is behemas chulin would be tempted to take out the dam from this animal in order to feed his German shepherd. V'chein mavir. Now, how do we get this in mavir? Mavir b'isure adno, shesavur, he thinks, sheyochol levashel kidera. He is turning on the fire in order to cook his pot. And the food that's in his pot is asur b'ano. And therefore, he's not allowed to be cooking it. And that makes it into a meleches kilkul. But on the other hand, it's tzricha legufa. Because in his mind, he has fooled himself into thinking that he's allowed to benefit from this pot of arla, let's say, if he's cooking arla. Yeah, now I'm ready for your question. I just wanted to finish the...
I was trying to understand the question from Benjamin Makar. Is he does he really know that this animal is kodshim, or is this like...
He doesn't know it's kodshim. So in his mind, he thinks he's allowed to be nene from this behemas chulin. He could take the dam out.
So mitzad echad from the kodshim is shogeg, but...
Right, no, we're focused not on the Isur Kodshim, we're focusing now on the Isur Meleches Chovel on Shabbos. This happened on Shabbos. If it happened during the week, you're right, we'll have to see, what this means in terms of destroying a behemoth Kodshim. But on Shabbos, how do we view this? Well, if you are destroying a behemoth Kodshim...
Does he get two?
1 second, if you're destroying a behemoth Kodshim by removing its dam, that's called a meleches chabur bekilkul. He's destroying the kodshim. That's a destructive act. But if you'll ask me, isn't a melecha tzricha legufa? The answer is yes, it's tzricha legufa. So far as he doesn't know that it's behemoth kodshim, and he needs the dam, and he thinks it's a very sensible, logical thing to remove the dam from this animal of chulin in order to feed his kelev, then that makes it into a tzricha legufa situation. So Tosus has successfully constructed a case which we never even dreamt of, in which A, it's a meleches kilkul, but B, it's a melacha tzricha legufa. And therefore, if it's a melacha tzricha legufa, Rav Shimon is going to say in this case, you're chayef, it's mekalkel. The answer is, Rav Shimon holds that mekalkel b'chabura is chayef. V'od yesh ledagdek plukta demekalkel b'chabura midesnan. Maybe we could find a source for the machlokas regarding mekalkel b'chabura to Mishnah and Pesachim, the Perek Elu Dvarim, which is called Pesach Sheni, that's the second half of Masechta Pesachim, that deals with the laws of Karban Pesach. And there's a Mishnah there that says, v'shar kol hazvachim sheshochton l'shem Pesach. If he takes, let's say, a behemas shlomim that was designated for a carbon shlomim, and he shechts it for the sake of a Korban Pesach, im einam re'uyim chayav. If the type of kodshim cannot be upgraded to the status of a Pesach, then he's chayav. V'amrinu b'gemara, the Gemara says, man Tana, who is the Tana who actually holds the Shonile Bein Ra'uyim L'She'enom Ruyim, that he makes the distinction between Royal Karban Pesach and Eino Royal Karban Pesach, in which case if it's Eino Royal Karban Pesach he's Chayav, but if it's Royal Karban Pesach he's not Chayav. Rav Shimoni V'amrinu and Hossam, the Gemara says there, Liel Mine, a little bit earlier, the Iri B'Toe, it's a case where he made a mistake and he thought he was shechting a Karban Pesach, but he's really was shechting a different zevach, a different karban. Alma, we see clearly that mechayvinon misasik. Now, this is a case of misasik because misasik means you're mistaken about the identity of an object. In this case, he thinks it's karban pesach, but it's really a different zevach. That's called misasik, and that will have to really write a whole paragraph, Don, about what misasik means. But if you can just write down this definition, misasik means that he's unaware of the identity of the object. And the halacha is that even though he made this chabura on Shabbos, and it's Eino Roy, and therefore it is Meleches Chabura Bekilku, but at the same time, there's an overlap here of Misasek, and Lechora Misasik should be Chayav. I'm sorry, Misasik should be Potter. Here, in this case, Misasik is going to be Chayav because we're dealing with Meleches Chabura. And the principle here that the Gemara is operating with is that since you're Chayav for Meleches Chabura, according to Reb Shimon, in Chabura, and there's no requirement of Tikkun, the Torah drops the ball on the requirement of Tikkun, and therefore even a Kilkul is Chayav with regard to Chovel. Therefore the Torah doesn't require that he has absolute knowledge of the identity of the object. And if he's mistaken about the identity of the object, which would normally be called a Misasek, and he'd be Potter, but in the case of Chovel, he's going to be Chayav. So again, we have a case of Reb Shimon who seems to say that Makalkil B'Chabur is Chayav. Because Rav Shimon says that if he shechts a carbon l'shem Pesach, and that carbon is not roy to be a carbon Pesach, therefore he's chayef. I is a kilkul. He took this animal that is designated as a kodshim, as a zevach for whatever it's designated for, and he completely passled it. He disqualified it by shechting l'shem Pesach. And this animal is ain't a royal Pesach, cannot serve as a carbon Pesach. So the Gemara says, Alma, what we see from this Pesach of Reb Shimon is the Mechayvina Misasek. That in the case of Meleches Chovel, he's Chayv for Misasek. He made a mistake about the identity of the object. Little did he know that this was a behemas, was designated as a Korban Pesach. And yet he's Chayv on Shabbos for passeling, for messing up the Shechita, even though he's mistaken about the identity, which makes him into a what? A misasek, since Rabbi Shimon holds that mekalkil b'chabur is chayev, therefore misasek is also chayev. And basically, what the Gemara is saying is that both mekalkil and misasek have something in common. I'm not sure what they have in common, but if A is chayev, then B is chayev. If A is potter, then B is potter. So if mekalkil is chayev, therefore misasek is going to be chayev. But it means that Mishnah in Psachim, which the Gemara identifies with Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon is the one who says that if it's Eino Roy, he's going to be Chayav. It must be that Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that Mekalka B'Chabura is Chayav. And the Gemara says that Hoil, this is the last line in Tos Hanachlit, Tinokos Hoil, U'Mekalka B'Chabura Chayav, Misasig Nami Chayav. Umi the Mechayev Rabbi Shimon, Misasek Bechabura, Shmamina, Mekalkel. Now we're on Peheim and Aleph and Tosot on the top of the page. Mekalkel Nami Mechayev. So far Tosot has offered a suggestion as to another suggestion as to where is this Rabbi Shimon that Makalka Bakabur is Chayav, and the answer is Rabbi Shimon is actually in the Mishnah in Pesachim. Again, that doesn't answer the question, where's Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda Yesh Ladakdik to Potar, Midasnan Beperikola Kalim is a Mishnah at the end of Shabbos, and it says, Umaisi Besomoch, the Gemara is going to quote it here in Masech the Sanhedrin in a few lines. Demachat Shel Yad. Machat Shel Yad means a needle that you usually sew with your hand. It's a small needle. Litol Boas HaKotz. This is Muktzah because it's designated to take out Kotzim. But if it's Litzorach Gufo, I'm sorry, this would be Muktzah normally because it's designated for sewing purposes. That's called a Machat Shel Yad. But if you need it, what's called a tzarek gufa, you need it in order to take out a thorn, you're allowed to remove that thorn. The mashmalei lashas, the iso kekuli alma, and the Gemara thinks that this Mishnah could reflect a unanimous opinion. The iso kekuli alma, everyone would agree. Kiahi the Shuli Shabbos, like the Gemara says at the end of Masech the Shabbos Tamrinan, Avol Muktzah Machmas Klisoin Kisa Filu Reb Shimon Mode. Meaning you're allowed to use it, even though it's very expensive, and therefore it's Muktzah. You're allowed to use it with Tzorech Gufo. Destan Kol Hakelim Nitolim B'Shabbos Chutz Mi Meser Agadol V'Yaseid Shel Machresha. Uminole. The mode Rabbi Shimon ba elamashmale the mistama hasa modu kuliyama heiche de lo mishkach pluta the cave of the Rabbi Yehuda mechayev and meloch shen tzrichu legufa lo efshal le mishrei machet shel yad litol ba sakotz ilav mishum desfirle mekalkel mechabura potur. So basically, Tosus works very hard to prove that everyone would agree that you're allowed to use a needle on Shabbos to remove a thorn. And the question is, I understand why that's allowed according to Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon holds Malach Shein Tzrich L'Guf is Potter. But if according to Rav Yehuda, Malach Shein Tzrich L'Guf is Chayev, then how is it possible to allow you to remove this thorn on Shabbos? You're going to remove blood. The answer must be, because Rabbi Yehuda holds the Makalkil B'chabura is Potur. So this, Tosa says, is the source for the Gemara's assumption here that Makalkil B'chabura is Potur, according to Rabbi Yehuda. How do we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds Makalkil B'chabura Potur? It's because Rabbi Yehuda, on the one hand, allows you to take out this coat, because that Mishnah Tosa proves according to everyone. And yet, at the same time, Rabbi Yehuda says, Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa Chayev. It must be, by definition, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Mekalkil B'Chabura is Potur. And why is Mekalkil B'Chabura Potur? Because Chabura, according to Rabbi Yehuda, like any Malach, has a Ptur of Mekalkil. And therefore, when he takes out the blood, inadvertently, when he's trying to get out the thorn, he's Potur for taking out the blood, because it's a Meleches Mekalkil, and not a Meleches Tikkun. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that Chovil, like all the other Malachas, is Potter in the case of Mekalkel. Okay, Rabosai, what time is it? Okay, we're going to have to stop. I think, you know what, I'm going to just read the next line or so. I don't want to keep you too long, but just this will close the circuit here on Tosis. He says, V'afagav damina b'perkira d'shmuel Yehuda. The Gemara establishes that Shmuel happens to agree with Rabbi Yehuda in Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. Ubeperek Sofek Ochal, that's the sugi that we had in Krisus, Masik Rav Nachman Aliv de Shmuel, Hanach Letinokos, Hoel Umekalkil B'Chabura Chayov. Now, we have here the following situation, that Shmuel holds that Mekalkil B'Chabur is Chayav, even though Shmuel himself holds Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is like Rabbi Yehuda, is Chayav, and he also holds Mekalkil B'Chabur is Chayav. So therefore, we're going to have a problem according to Shmuel. How is Shmuel going to justify the Mishnah that allows you to take out a thorn on Shabbos? So what are you going to tell me? When he takes out the blood, he's Mekalkil. Shmuel happens to hold like Rabbi Shimon, that Makalka b'chavur is chaya. And what are you going to tell me that it's malacha sheni tzricha legufa, but Shmuel happens to hold like Rabbi Yehuda in malacha sheni tzricha legufa? So basically, what Tosfos is doing here, he's combining three different sugyas in Shas, and ending up with a stira, with a question. Sugya number one is in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chaf Beis Amid Beis, or Kuf Nun Zayin Amid Alf, where in both of those cases the Gemara says that you're allowed to remove this coats. And everybody agrees that you're allowed to remove this coats, despite the fear that he might remove the dam. Add to that the Sugya and Perikira and Shabbos Daf Mem Beis, which Shmuel holds in Lokshen and Tzuch Guf like Rabbi Yehuda is Chayav. And add to that the Gemara in Krisus on Daf Yud Testament Beis that establishes that according to Shmuel, in the case of Makalka Machabura, he's going to be Chayav. So if it, you know, here's the overlap here. According to Shmuel, there's an overlap here because he's going to accept Rabbi Shimon's opinion of Makalka Machabura Chayav. He's going to accept Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that Lokshen and Tzricha Legufa is Chayav, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And now we don't understand what is Shmuel going to do to support and justify the conclusion of the Mishnah that you're allowed to take the coats out. So we're going to say, well, he takes out the dam, it's a Malechus Makalkil, but it's Chovil, and Chovil Makalkil, like Rav Shimon, is Chayav. And what are you going to tell me? It's Malach Shen Tzrich L'Gufa, but it happens to be that Shmuel holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, Malach Shen Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayav. Okay. So what we have for today is, number one, to review the Tosis on Pei Dalet Amid Beis, Pei Hei Amid Beis, Pei Hei Amid Alef. Then we have the Pnei Yoshua. Did everybody get the Pnei Yoshua?
Yes.
Okay. And next, what we have is the Chidushei Ramban we already covered, correct? Okay, so that we have. And let me just see for a split second here what's next on the list. Oh, next on the list, and this is going to be a major undertaking, is Tosfos and Shabbos Daf Kuvav Amid Alef, Dibra Mastil Chutz. And after that, again, I'm asking you to make a note of it and pass this on to Tzvi if you can. There's another Tosfos on the page that we have to go through, and that's Dibra Mastil Bechovel. So we have this Tosfos in Sanhedrin, we have two Tosfos in Shabbos Daf Kuvav, and we have the Pnei Yoshua.
What is the
Tosfos
in Shabbos again?
So Tosfos in Shabbos on Daf Kuvav. We have the Tosfos Chutz, which is the first Tosfos. You see it on the top of the page?
Yes.
And then we have the second Tosfos, Bechovel. And that's really going to occupy our mind for the rest of this morning and for tomorrow. And Sunday morning, I assume we have regular shiur. Is that correct? Even though we'll be up a little bit late for sleeping.